Let's play some cards.
From Harrah's St. Louis Casino and Hotel, this is The Final Table, starring Team Poker Stars pro Dennis Phillips with Paul Harris. Brought to you by Poker Stars and the Poker Players Alliance.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
You got no.
Now, from the Harrah's St. Louis Poker Room, here are Dennis and Paul on 590 The Fan KFNS.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Coming up on the show today, the new schedule for the World Series of Poker. The 2011 schedule is out, and the man behind it, Jack Effel, the WSOP Tournament Director, will join us a little bit later on. Also, a man who used to run the WSOP and is now behind a new professional poker players league, Jeffrey Pollack, will join us in just a couple of minutes. Hello, I am Paul Harris. Welcome to the feature table in the Harrah's St. Louis Poker Room, where the Bad Beat jackpot is up to $130,000. And there are cash games and tournament games going on. And Dave, the dealer at Tournament 3, tells me he's not dealing any bad beats today in the 1-2 game. My partner, Dennis Phillips, is in not Las Vegas, not St. Louis, but his other home away from home, somewhere in California. Hi, Dennis. How are you?
I'm doing well. Having so much fun now. Yeah, I'm in Palm Springs. I'm actually at the Morongo Casino and Hotel. Gorgeous place out here. It's absolutely fabulous, great golf, great, it's Palm Springs, what can I say?
And they've got a big poker room there too, don't they?
They've got a good-sized poker room and looking toward developing an even bigger one. The casino's set up, it's got a great spa, a great little pool, workout facilities. They've got a 150-store outlet mall that's almost within walking distance. Yeah, it's just a nice destination that I'm finding out, and I'll put it this way. We're exploring some potential possibilities of doing some things out here, and I think it'd be awesome if it actually develops.
But okay.
That's a teaser, but that's all I can tell you right now.
All right. Well, when we have details that we can reveal on that, we will. And before we get to anything else, happy anniversary, Dennis. Today is our 104th show, which means we have been doing the Final Table Poker Radio Show for 2 years. We start year number 3 next week.
It seems like only yesterday, as they say.
Yeah.
Now,
I mentioned that we were going to have Jeffrey Pollack on the show. We tried to connect with Jeffrey last week when the news had just broken about this new professional poker league. We couldn't connect with him last week, but we're happy to have him now. I believe he is somewhere in London. Jeffrey is the former commissioner of the World Series of Poker League, now running the Professional Bull Riders Association, and also chairman and co-founder of a new organization called Federated Sports and Gaming. Jeffrey, welcome back to the Final Table.
Thanks. Good to be back with you guys.
What are you doing in London?
A little bit of business. We're over here just having announced the company last week. We had a couple of meetings this week to take care of, so we're over here on business and looking forward to our league being announced. And Annie Duke is our founding commissioner. We're very excited about that, and we're excited to do something very special for the world's best players.
Okay, let's start with the very basics here. What's the league going to be called, and what's the concept?
Well, it's not going to be called the Federated Poker League. That the Federated Sports and Gaming is just the company name. We're going to announce our consumer name in the next several weeks. And the concept is to create a platform that is dedicated to celebrating the best poker players in the world. Every other sport and game has a league or association or some platform that celebrates the best of the best, and that's what we're going to do in poker.
I got a quick question for you. If you ask people, there's probably at least 3,000 of the best players in the world that think they're the best players in the world. How are you going to narrow it down to 200?
Well, we're going to have a ranking system and qualification formula that's going to be driven very much by mathematics and proven historic achievement. So we won't get all of the best players, and you know there are hundreds, thousands of great players, obviously, but we're looking for the top 200 or so. That's our focus.
But you haven't announced what the criteria will be, other than the fact that it's going to somehow measure finishes in major events. I assume that means the World Series of Poker, the World Poker Tour, the NAPT, the EPT, and that sort of stuff, but not cash games and not online play. Is that right?
Well, actually, there will be great online players who qualify for the league. I don't want to preview Annie's announcements and over the next several weeks and couple of months about how the qualification criteria work, but you absolutely will see some of the biggest names in online poker qualifying for our league.
Well, I'm wondering, because that's going to be a major difficult. It sounds like it's similar to what they do in golf, where they have their top 120 each week that are play, and then they have a number of exemptions in that. You have somebody like a Doyle Bronson. He has to be included in this, so there has to be some sort of an exception made for him, because he doesn't play that much tournaments or anything now in recent times. But my curiosity is somebody like a Tom Dwan, who has no tournament results to speak of yet, but is such a known name. How does he qualify from his maybe cash earnings or something? Or,
well, again, it's early for us to start saying who qualifies and what the qualification criteria are. All I would say is stay tuned and don't assume that some of the biggest names in online poker don't qualify.
Jeffrey, when we tweeted the fact that you were going to be on the show today, we had a lot of our listeners send us questions for you. Some of them were things like, why aren't online pros included in the league? And you just said that they are. A listener named James Slusher says, is this invite only, or will people be able to qualify for it?
It's qualification. It's not invitation. It's qualification. There'll be a criteria system that's announced, and folks will be able to determine whether or not they meet the criteria. It's qualification.
But I think what he's asking is, will people be able to go play in a tournament and earn their way in to your made-for-TV events?
Yes, there will be Pro-Am events. Again, we haven't announced the details of those just yet, but there will be Pro-Am events, absolutely.
And before Dennis asks you another question, a listener named Jason Barnhart tweeted wanting to know, have any pros verbally agreed to play in the league? I know you haven't named anybody or even come up with the criteria, but have you had some who say, I'm in?
Yes, we have. I'm not going to say who, because, again, I would be scooping our commissioner from her announcements that she's going to be making over the next several weeks and couple of months. But yes, absolutely, we've had players come say that they're in, assuming that they qualify.
Well, I can't think of too many people with your reputation and what this looks like is leading up to be turning down an invitation to play in this. So I think you pretty well can have your pick of the litter. Is this almost going to be like a tiered thing, maybe like Major League Baseball? This is going to be the ultimate goal to be one of those top 200, but there might be almost like a minor league of people trying to qualify to become on that. And will this thing shift from month to month, or once you get to 200 for this year, is that going to be it for all of the tournaments?
Well, again, I don't want to, you know, all we did last week was announce the company and the concept, the details. Are going to come in some additional announcements, but there will be, I think, a fair amount of churn at a certain tier in the league, and I think you're going to see a lot of discussion each year about who makes the cut and who doesn't, and who plays their way in through the pro-ams, and we're going to have, I think, a very exciting system here that will engage not only the pros but the fans as well.
This is the Final Table Poker Radio Show with Dennis Phillips in Palm Springs. I'm Paul Harris in St. Louis. Jeffrey Pollack, the chairman and co-founder of Federated Sports and Gaming, is in London. He's the guy behind a new professional poker players league. Now, Jeffrey, I remember sitting down with you when we were recording shows in Las Vegas at the Rio in 2009, when you were still commissioner of the WSOP. And one of the things that we talked about was the difficulty in getting corporate sponsors and corporate America to embrace poker, that there was still a high hurdle, an obstacle, if you will, to getting some of these big companies to come along, like Pepsi, like Anheuser-Busch, like Ford, etc., to say, you know what, poker is America's game, and I want to be a part of it, and I want to be a sponsor of the WSOP. They are still having that problem in the post-Pollock era, and maybe we'll talk with Jack Effel about that a little bit later, but I wonder where you're going to turn for corporate sponsorship for your new league that perhaps has got a better in with corporate America.
Well, it's going to take some time, and I look, I'm a big fan of the WSOP. I always have been, I always will be, and I think that they had an incredible year last year, and I wouldn't say that they've lost any momentum on any front. For our part, it's going to take some time. We're starting from zero. We're going to have to prove that our tournaments have value to the pros and to fans, and we don't expect to be making any big sponsorship announcements in the first year. We've got to prove ourselves to the marketplace, and we're going to work hard to do that. So, we're coming into this marketplace, I think, very respectfully and cognizant of the fact that there's some terrific, longstanding, very important poker traditions out there. We're starting a new tradition. It's going to take some time for it to generate a new type of commercial appeal, but we think ultimately we're going to help mainstream the game even more by the way that we present poker.
Well, I agree with you totally. This game is evolving, and the way it's covered in its popularity is just growing by leaps and bounds. I actually didn't see this coming, but I love the idea of a, quote, major league poker tournament of the top players, and then how hard it is to get people to qualify for it and how much they're going to fight for it. We've seen reality shows. We've seen the big game and the million-dollar challenge from PokerStars. Now we're seeing this. What's next with poker? Where we go? Where's poker going to be in 2 years from now?
I couldn't tell you. We're solely focused on getting our venture off the ground. That we're not looking 2 years ahead at this point. We're just looking to the next 12 months. And the most important thing you can do when you start a new company is not screw it up. And that's one of our core goals this year is to just at least operate this proficiently and get going and lay the foundation for something that that will build over time. We don't expect to change the poker world by ourselves. We don't expect to change it overnight. We simply want to start a new tournament series and a new tradition that's very focused on the pro, and we think that's going to be very complementary to all of the other tournaments that are already out there.
Jeffrey, here's another question from Twitter, from Twitter, from a guy by the name of Jeffrey Teller, who says, the World Series of Poker helped make stars out of nobodies because all the events were open to everyone. If yours are going to concentrate on pros, are you doing this because those pros are getting pushed aside by the nobodies and they want more TV time for their contracts with the big online sites?
No, this isn't about doing something for the pros because they think they're being pushed aside somewhere. It that has nothing to do with it. It's really about just looking at the landscape very objectively. There isn't a brand or a tournament series that's focused on the pro. And again, every other sport, every other game that exists. Right, there are all types of different levels of basketball, but there's one NBA. We're trying to create a 360 degree experience that's focused on the pro, and we know that that's something that fans have an interest in watching, and we know that it's something that pros have an interest in participating in. I think that most poker fans probably couldn't name the top 200 or maybe even 100 poker players out there. We want to give more exposure to the names that already but also the names that you should know. And there are a lot of great players out there who we think deserve even more attention than they've gotten.
Okay. Change it a little bit. I was curious as to why you picked the Palms as the venue for this place. I mean, I love going to the Palms.
It's a fun there. Property. George Maloof is a very media-savvy operator. He understands television. He understands celebrity. They're looking to grow their footprint in poker, and we're honored to be partnered with them. And it's going to be a very fun place for our event. There's a great vibe there. It's a very hip property, and we're going to have a lot of fun with what we do. And the Palms is going to be a great place to do that.
When you say expand their footprint, you mean they're going to go more than six tables in their poker room?
Well, I'll leave that for either George or Jason Gasworth to answer, but their poker ambitions are a little bigger than they were.
Okay. Do you have a TV deal, Jeffrey?
We're working on that, and we'll have something to announce in the next several weeks, but that too is a detail and an announcement that's going
to
come.
All right, and the follow-up to that, which you also may not be able to answer for us here today, is you said the 360-degree experience. I assume that that also would include a social media aspect and perhaps online stuff that is not part of other poker online experiences now. I mean, how are you going to embrace new media as well?
Well, by 360 for the pro, we really meant making sure that the tournaments are designed and structured in a way that caters to their level of play. It means making sure the service levels at the Palms are at a very, very high level and that they're catered to in the right way. So that's really what I meant. But in terms of new media, there will be a website that carries the consumer-facing brand name of our league, and that will be a content-rich site. And yes, eventually we will get into the social media gaming business, and you'll see some interesting connections to what we're doing at the Palms through legal social media gaming. Real money gaming isn't something that we're focused on. It's at this point, it's not legal, obviously, in the United States. Obviously, there are those that have differing views on that, but we're not in that business.
Another one, again, in the social content. You know how heavily I get involved in the charities and that. Are you looking or are you considering any aspect, in the charity field and having charity tournaments and sponsors and something that way?
Absolutely. There will be a charity and giving back component to the work we do in this company and in the league. Absolutely, that is going to be a piece of it.
Jeffrey, there was something 5 or 6 years ago called the PPT, the Professional Poker Tour, which
right.
Had a TV deal and was on TV for a year or so. They didn't do a lot of tournaments, but after a year, it kind of went away. And nobody's exactly 100% sure what happened there. But the idea of professional poker players, well-known people playing on TV, has been tried before. What makes you think that you can succeed where they didn't?
Well, we think the timing's right. We certainly have a pretty unique management team. Annie, as commissioner, she's not just a figurehead, but she's really leading and designing every element of the league and doing it with the pro player in mind, and she should know she is one. My partners, David Goldberg and Michael Brodsky, who are the co-CEOs of the company, are two very time-proven, road-tested entrepreneurial executives that have an incredible track record. We're properly capitalized. We have a good plan and vision, and we're optimistic about our chances for success here. And so we think the timing's right, and we think we have a great team.
I absolutely agree. I think the concept is excellent. Putting it together is going to be a heck of a lot of hard work. You've got Annie there, which is a step in the right direction, no doubt about that. What kind of time frame are we talking here? When can we expect another announcement and more development.
I'd say within 8 weeks, you'll hear from us again, if not sooner. And then the news should start coming pretty quickly after that. So we have the qualification criteria to announce. We have the consumer brand to announce what the league will be called, television deal, that initial list of 200 players for the first year, rules, tournament structures. So there's a lot of news yet to come. Last week was really just our kind of saying hello. Here we are, and we look forward to sharing more of the details over the next few months.
Well, Jeffrey, we appreciate you coming on today and talking a little bit about this. We know, obviously, this is so early that there isn't a ton to announce, but you just mentioned some of the things that people do have questions about and which we'll all have to be patient and find out about over the course of the late winter and spring and as the year goes along. Good luck with it. Say hi to Annie for us. She was just on with us about 3 weeks ago talking about her leaving UB, and she said, I have other things that I'm working on. But she didn't tip her hand on this. You'll be happy to know she kept the secret until you guys made the announcement last week.
Well, glad to hear that. I'd love to come back as we get closer. And frankly, you know, you'll probably be talking to Annie more than me. I'm just so happy that we have a commissioner who truly, truly will be a player's commissioner and has such a unique perspective on the game. We think that's going to be great. And as I said, she isn't the figurehead. She's an executive vice president in our company. She really is driving the details and the build out of this league. So if I'm doing my job right and she's doing her job right, that means that you'll be hearing from her a lot more than you will from me.
Jeffrey Pollack, chairman and co-founder of Federated Sports and Gaming, the company behind the new Professional Poker League. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks, guys. Good to talk to you.
All right, take care, Jeffrey.
This is the Final Table Poker Radio Show. Dennis Phillips in California, Paul Harris in St. Louis, Jeffrey on the phone with us from London tonight. Dennis, what do you think?
Actually, it's a great idea. It's going to be really, really difficult, I think, to get it going. But it does, it makes it potentially TV worthy, shall we say. One of the biggest problems a lot of people have on the TV shows is when you get down to the final nine of a major tournament, you look at it and nobody knows the players. Here, you're starting out already with the pros, with the guys that have established themselves over the years as being the best and the leaders of their field. So you know when you get playing this tournament, no matter what table you go to, no matter what level, and especially when you get to that final table, these are going to be known people out there, people that you can respect the play of, people that you can talk about and analyze their play. It should be a very high quality of play at these tables.
But you are going to not have the thing that catapulted you to fame and others through the World Series of Poker, which is the guy coming out of nowhere.
Well, this is true. This is true. And that's why I wonder if they won't have a little bit of an element there, you know, just like the golf. They have their top amateurs, and they have their pro-am, and they have several other things to try and involve it. And perhaps this can develop, and they'll have some sort of a pro-am where it's half of them are amateurs and half of them pros, and they're playing against it, or they're playing some sort of a team thing, or maybe somehow or other they do qualify either online or some other way to get a seat at the table, shall we say, and to be able to play against the best. I can see a lot of ways.
Here's the other thing I wonder about, which is where are they going to wedge four regular season events plus their $1 million championship free roll into the poker calendar, which is so busy right now. I mean, right now, they got the WPT in Biloxi. They've got a WSOP in Oklahoma, Choctaw. They've got the Aussie Millions going on. The LA Poker Classic is running. The EPT is in Deauville, France. That's five things going on simultaneously just in the middle of January, every month of the year, except for the 2 weeks, the week leading up to Christmas and the week after that leading up to New Year's. Those are the only times we have any kind of poker tournament drought. And in January, you've just come from the second biggest poker tournament in the world, the PCA. If this is going to coincide with that, where are they going to fit this in?
I agree with you. It's monstrous, the schedule right now. Everything is filling up with poker. There are more TV shows. There's more just, you name it, and it's there concerning poker. I don't know. It's already getting difficult. I used to be, you know, there were certain tournaments you went to and just automatic and you didn't have to worry about it. Now you got to plan two, 3 months in advance as to where you want to go, because you have to try to choose the best of the best. You always know there's two or three things going on. Yeah, I don't know. This is, it's going to get interesting in the next year or two.
All right,
there's no doubt about that.
And the last question I want to ask about this, and by the way, I should mention, Jeffrey didn't say this, but they're planning on their tournaments being rake-free for the pros with an overlay with some cash added in here. So obviously they've got to find sponsors. They've got to get a TV deal. They've got to figure out a way to make money off of that. And if you're a pro who's going to play in this, that would be an advantage to you wanting to go and do something like this. But I'll ask you this as a member of PokerStars Team Pro, Dennis.
Uh-huh.
PokerStars now has its own TV show in The Big Game, which is going to start filming season 2 sometime in the next couple of months. They're also behind High Stakes Poker. Full Tilt has Poker After Dark, which is essentially just their players on it. And we're seeing more and more of this branding by one of the two big sites or the other when it comes to TV poker events. Will Stars and Tilt allow you guys to go and play in something that's not affiliated with one or the other? Will they support this thing?
Well, again, that's a problem that Jeffrey has to be aware of and has to be trying to make sure. He can't affiliate or offend any of the major sites, either Full Tilt or PokerStars. He has to work with them somewhat in order to get these, because all it would take is a boycott by those two sites, and his top 200 now is not the top 200.
Right.
That's all there is to it.
Yep.
So they have to find a way to incorporate both the Full Tilt players and the PokerStars players, because there's no way you can have the top 200 and not have a Phil Ivey, a Tom Dwan, a Barry Greenstein, a Daniel Negreanu. I mean, you just go on and on and on. There's 20, 30 players from each of these sites that are going to be included in that top 200.
Absolutely.
So I don't know how he answers that, to be honest.
Yep.
Because if he affiliates it in such a way and doesn't coordinate with Stars and Tilt, that's a possibility.
And without those Stars, I mean, those are the big names. Those two sites
Absolutely.
Have signed the biggest names in the game. A few of them are with UB as well, plus Doyle at Doyle's Room. But mostly it's those two sites. Without them being on board with this, you're not going to have the pros people want to see, which is what he says this league is all about.
I mean, if you name the top, anybody that's affiliated with poker, and he wants to name, say, don't even go deep, say the top 15, the top 20 players, whoever he can rattle off on top of his head, I guarantee two-thirds of them are going to be on one of those two sites.
This is the Final Table Poker Radio Show with Dennis Phillips in Palm Springs. I'm Paul Harris in St. Louis at Harris in the Poker Room, where the action continues today. And this weekend there'll be more qualifiers for the World Series of Poker Circuit event that is coming here in the first 2 weeks of April. It actually starts on March 31st. There'll be two tournaments every single day, plus sit-and-goes and megas going on as well, and all leading up to the $1,600 buy-in main event here. And they're doing Super Circuit Satellites again this Saturday at 2 p.m. in the Harris St. Louis Poker Room. It's a $150 buy-in. They cap it at 100 players, and if they get the 100, then seven people will win a seat into that $1,600 buy-in main event here. If you want details on that and the other tournaments and on the circuit event that's coming to Harrah's St. Louis, you go to harrahs.com/STLpoker. That's harrahs.com/STLpoker. And when you come to Harrah's, you'll not only have one of the best poker rooms I've ever played in, but also all the fine restaurants here. And by the way, they still have that buy a buffet, get free slot play promotion that's going on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. Today's Tuesday. You can come on out here today, buy a buffet, and eat all you want, and then get free slot play. For breakfast, it's $5 a slot play. For lunch, it's $7. For dinner, $10 of free slot play. Bring your total rewards card if you're 21 or over. Have yourself a meal at the Eat Up Buffet, and then play slots for free here at Harrah's St. Louis, the home of the Final Table Poker Radio Show every week on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com. And our podcasts, downloadable via iTunes, or listen to them on the embedded player on Dennis's website, thechipleader.com. This is the Final Table Poker Radio Show, live from Harrah's St. Louis and the Morongo Casino in Palm Springs, California. That's where Dennis Phillips is. I'm Paul Harris here in St. Louis on the two-year anniversary of the Final Table. Thank you for listening. This portion of our show is brought to you by PokerStars.net, which has had some big announcements about the NAPT recently, Dennis.
Absolutely have. Down there in the Bahamas, we were able to announce that we're going back to two of the places we were in our first year at the NAPT. We're going to the Bicycle Casino in Los Angeles. That's from March 5th through the 10th. And we're going to the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut from April 8th to the 13th. Now, both of those events last year drew over 700 players in the main event. It's not totally set yet, but we've been working hard at it, and it appears we have sites for the third and the fourth events for the NAPT season, and that should be coming out, the announcement, in the next week. So I unfortunately, again, just got to give you a teaser, but we have the first one in California, the second one in Connecticut. We have three, and we have four, also spaced geographically around the country. No matter where you're at, before this season's over, there's going to be an NAPT near you. And again, you can go on PokerStars.net, qualify for free to join me at any of these sites. Phenomenal tournaments. Again, 700-plus players in the main event. And we also play a series of tournaments there. And we have a series of cash games there. And we have a lot of fun while we're at these events. The NAPT, it was great last year in its inaugural season. It's going to be even better this year.
The NAPT has, in many instances, become the second largest poker tournament in the world. The first, of course, is the granddaddy of all the big poker tournaments. That is the World Series of Poker. And people have been asking since the November 9 finished up, when will we find out about the schedule for 2011? Well, here's the man who knows, because he put it together. Jack Effel is the Vice President of International Poker Operations and the director of the World Series of Poker. Jack, welcome back to the Final Table.
Hey, thanks for having me back on the show. It's going to be an exciting year.
I saw you describe this on Twitter as like a game of Jenga. You pull one thing out and it all falls apart. You got to put it together just so. Have you literally been working on this since last summer?
You know, I could literally continue to move events around on the schedule until somebody, you know, slaps my wrist and says, we have to post the schedule, because no matter what you do, you're always going to schedule an event that's going to be an event that people want to play. And, you know, we do a better job every year knowing, okay, this is the same player, this isn't the same player. But with, you know, a lot of different events in there, and we want to keep the action going throughout the series, is that you do have to be kind of careful about where you schedule certain events. But I think for the most part, as you look at the strategy that we use this year for the schedule, you may find a couple of events here and there. But I think if you start putting the math to things and the fact that we do have four levels of late registration this year for the preliminary events and two like we had last year for the main event, I think you'll see that there will be more opportunities for players and like players for certain events to play all of their favorite events throughout the schedule.
So you're saying if I get knocked out early, I can play a different event because you've extended it out there, right?
And not only that, there's something you can do this year that you've never been able to do. So in the past, if you made day two of a noon start event, then you're pretty much shut out of the other noon start the following day, unless you wanted to play both, which, you know, there are some. You know, Tom Dwan and Barry Greenstein and Daniel are still going to play every single event, no matter if they start at the exact same time. They'll just go back and forth. Phil Ivey, too. But this year, with the four levels of registration, meaning that you can get into the 12 o'clock events as late as 4:40, which, you know, during the break will still let you get in, or for the 5 o'clock events, which actually comes out to 9:45 because we're adjusting the break schedule a little bit. So by doing that, it gives more opportunity for players to get in. But for the noon events, what it does is now if you make day two and you restart at 2:30 or 3 o'clock, you still have until 4:40 to get into that event. And by that time anyway, once you've played about 10 levels of one of these events, they're moving along pretty fast. So that should be a good opportunity for a handful of guys to still have an opportunity to get into the noon event if they want to. It also helps out for people that are flying in late or want to just fly in the day of and come in and play a tournament. They may not be able to make it at 12 o'clock. They may not even be able to make it at 2 o'clock. But I think 4:40, everybody's awake and ready to gamble at that point in time. So I think it allows a little more flexibility for all the players to play all their favorite events and not get shut out of anything.
Jack, you're going to have 58 gold bracelets awarded this year. That's one more than last year. And a couple of new events, first time at the WSOP. Tell us about those.
You know, I'm probably more excited about this year's schedule than ever before. Every year I try to think of, the greatest new event that the player would love. I mean, if you look at the schedule, we kick it off with a $25,000 buy-in, heads-up No Limit Hold'em Championship. So now you can see the heads-up champion be crowned. You obviously see the $50,000 Poker Players Championship back. You have the best all-around player champion crowned, and of course the jewel of them all, the WSOP main event, $10,000 buy-in for the world champion of poker. So in addition to those three highlighted events, which are probably the three highest rated events that are in the schedule this year, there are so many good ones that are so close, and let me point some of them out. Number one, there was a lot of requests last year for a six max Pot Limit Omaha event. And as many of you know, Pot Limit Omaha has become probably the second most popular form of poker outside of No Limit Hold'em. It's also very popular with the European players. And you can see that I don't actually start scheduling the Pot Limit Omaha events right at the beginning. I give it a few days into the schedule before those begin. But we've added a 5,000 6-max PLO this year that I think is going to be fantastic. Players are going to love it. I think it's a great addition to the schedule. It adds a little spice. It's cool. Obviously, shorthanded play requires players to make decisions a little faster and, keeps them on their toes a little bit more than, let's just say, a regular ring game that they may just be going through the motions. So it adds that little bit of spice. The next event that I would say that I'm extremely proud of is the 10-game mix, which is also going to be played six-handed this year. And it features all eight games that you see in our regular eight-game mix, which is the horse games, No Limit Hold'em, Pot Limit Omaha, Deuce to Seven Triple Draw, and then the two new games, Deuce to Seven No Limit, and for the first time ever at the World Series of Poker, Badoogie.
All right, I got to stop you right there, Jack. Are you telling me you have enough dealers who will be working this summer who know how to deal Badoogie and know what's going on in that game? Because there aren't more than six people in the world who are experts at Badoogie, Greg Raymer being one of them, and maybe a couple of others. You got enough dealers who understand the game?
You know, it's funny because you have a lot of people playing the game these days, and every year I've shot it down for players asking about it, but I had so many, I was like overwhelmed with requests. And I said, there's probably, I don't feel like anytime soon just putting Badoogie in there by itself. But let's put it out there. Let's make it skillful and put it in a mix where they're playing all the different games. And let's see how it goes. Because personally, I think with its increased popularity in recent times, that it's going to be the next big thing, at least in terms of low ball draw games that are offered. So I'm real excited about it, actually, and it does add kind of that element of excitement to having a cool game. Somebody, you got to have a 10-game mix. The horse events. What I've learned is the horse events, the mixed events, anything that has more than one game in the mix is popular with the poker community, and these guys absolutely love them. So I want to continue to create new offerings, keep those events exciting, and continue to build those events for the players, because they are very strategic. They're great competitions, and they want to play more games. I mean, I can't see it getting to the ridiculous. Somebody said, you're going to have 16 games one day. And, I actually saw a game not too long ago in a room. Somebody was playing six. I said, that's kind of crazy. So this year, I feel pretty good about 10 games, so we'll see what happens with that.
Wow, I got so many questions on this thing. This is exciting. All right, first event, Tuesday, May 31st, $25,000 heads up, maximum of 256 players. How can you guarantee to be one of those 256?
Register early. So pre-registration will be open February the 7th, where you can download the form at WSOP.com, or you can visit the Rio main cage and complete a form and make your payment and then pick up your seat assignment when you come in for the tournament. Or you can wait until registration opens live when World Series of Poker opens on May 30th. And then buy in before we sell out that 256 cap. Now, every year we've had that heads-up event. It's sold out. So I encourage players to buy in early and get signed up and don't miss the chance to play in that event. Now, since it is at the beginning, I'm hoping that that'll get everyone's attention. Usually when it's later in the schedule, they kind of procrastinate. And always, you know, 50, 60 guys get shut out of it. So I definitely encourage everyone to get there and sign up early.
Dennis, you came in third at the NBC Heads Up last year. Are you going to play the 25K Heads Up?
There's a decent chance of that. Let's just say that, yeah. So, seventh is the first day I can sign up, right?
The seventh is the first day you can sign up. That's correct.
All right. Same type of thing. Now, your opening weekend, you're going to have a $1,000 buy-in. Last year you had a 6,000 and some in this thing, I think it was, whatever. Is there a chance that that's going to sell out because it was so popular last year? What's your maximum you can have in that $1,000 one?
Well, you know, again, we're going to have relatively the same table capacity this year as we did last year. Approximately 375 tables spread out between two rooms, the Pavilion Room and the Amazon Room. And, you know, we can easily accommodate 7,000 players between the 2 days with no problems. And I believe we did about 4,400 last year for the first 1K and 6,000 the year before, but that was also because of the Memorial Day weekend. As you will notice in the schedule, we have tried to accommodate the holiday and pushed everything to open on Monday, which is actually Memorial Day, but no events that weekend leading up to Memorial Day, and the first two events being on Tuesday, May 31st, after Memorial Day. So I think that that will help in terms of, you know, getting everyone here, not forcing people to, you know, pay out ridiculous, you know, hemorrhaging money to pay for hotels to stay here during the holiday weekend and that sort of thing, that players can gradually get here. Of course, unless they're playing in the WSOPC National Championship over at Caesars Palace the weekend before, the rest of the poker community who's coming out for World Series of Poker should feel good about getting here and not missing out on their favorite events or and not having to pay crazy amounts for hotels.
All right, Jack, while we're talking about the 1K event on the first weekend, you're doing a bunch of those, and let's talk about stuff for, you know, the lower limit players, people who maybe have never gone to a World Series of Poker before. They're not going to play in the 25K Heads Up. They're not going to play in the 50K Players Championship. They may never think that they can get into the 10K main event unless they qualify somehow, like during the qualifiers every month here at Harrah's St. Louis. What is there at the bottom end of the buy-in scale for those folks?
Well, we have a strategy for, you know, basically every type of player that comes to the World Series of Poker. So there are the guys that just play the $10,000 events and the very, you know, various mixed events and that sort of thing. And those are sprinkled out. And those guys will play a Tuesday or a Wednesday, the same as they would play a Saturday or a Sunday. But the idea of the weekend player who comes in and wants to play a couple of their favorite events that has, you know, a limited budget to come to the World Series of Poker, we have $1,500 events backed by popular demand on Saturdays. If you think back a couple of years ago, those events were very well attended when they were scheduled on Saturdays before we went to the two-day Saturday-Sunday strategy. So this year, we kind of wanted to get away from that a little bit. We wanted to have a big bang for the first weekend that we actually have events after Memorial Day is over. And so we have the $1,000 event on the Saturday-Sunday start with another $1,000 event at the end, right before the main event, with a day one A and day one B start as well. And then everywhere in between, you're only going to see $1,500 no-limit hold'em events on Saturday, followed by $1,000 buy-in no-limit hold'em tournament on Sunday. So therefore, you know, guys can come in, they can play the 1500, they can play the 1K, now they can stay for 4 or 5 days, and they don't have to be away from work too long. Obviously, if they make, you know, day two or the final table, there's no problems calling in to work at that point in time because they're already guaranteed some nice prize money. So that's the benefit to doing it this way as opposed to spreading things out where the guy who wants to play a $1,500 event can't get away long enough from work to do that. In addition, you know, you're going to see, you know, 20-plus events, nearly 30 events in the $1,500 or lower buy-in range. So there's many different variations of bracelet events for the average player who only plays a few events during their WSOP calendar year. But you see all the variations, pot limit hold'em, no limit hold'em, horse, seven card stud eight or better, pot limit Omaha, deuce to seven, no limit draw. I mean, there's a lot of different variations, Omaha eight or better, a lot of great events at the $1,500 range for players. Obviously, the $2,500 range, which moves everything up a little bit. But before we talk about that, let me continue on with the something for everyone strategy. And so in addition to those bracelet events, well, maybe you can't afford to play in a $1,000 tournament or a $2,500 tournament or whatever the case may be. Well, we have something for you every single day. We're going to continue on the success that we had last year with the Deep Stack Series. And last year we kind of added a $200 buy-in, no limit hold'em tournament at 1 o'clock last year. And I was trying something new because I had several players come up to me and say, why don't you have a small buy-in tournament in the afternoon except for the Mega Satellite? Because I want to play a tournament, so I'm going to Venetian or wherever. And I said, there's no reason for everybody to leave here. If a small buy-in tournament is what you guys want, well, let's try one. So I added a $200 tournament, and the first day it got like 250 players, and before long it was getting 700-plus players. And I said, oh, my God. Okay, so this is what everybody wants? Okay, well, let me give this to them, right? And so this year, the strategy is a little different. We're running the Deep Stack Series at 2, 6, and 10 p.m. every single day. And it'll be a 235, a 185, and a 135 at those respective times. We're going to continue to run our Mega Satellites at 4 and 8 p.m. every day. And there's one little caveat to all of this, is that now for the first time ever, we are opening registration for levels for every single event, as I alluded to for the bracelet events. But not only are we also doing that for the Daily Deep Stack Series and the Mega Satellites, but for the first time, we will offer re-entry during the registration period for all of those side events as well. So if you get busted out of the Deep Stack, which, you know, you have so many chips as it is, but it still happens, you can still get back in if registration is still open. So that will be offered. In addition to that, if, let's say, you're on even more of a limited budget, and you can't come up with a few hundred dollars to play in any of these events, every morning at 9 a.m., we're going to run a $75 turbo where for every 10 players, we'll give away a 500 chip and 50 in cash, and you could take that chip and literally play in all three Deep Stack tournaments. You could play in like the 3 o'clock Mega and one of the other Deep Stack tournaments, or a combination of all of them, whatever strikes your fancy. So that's a good way to kind of get your action going for the day, get up in the morning, play a couple of hour turbo, get a chip, go buy a few tickets at the registration window, and you're in action all day. You know, if you're one of those guys chasing a main event seat, maybe you go and play in the $75 turbo, you win a 500 and chip and 50 in cash, you come back at 8 o'clock that night, you can win 10,000 in buy-in chips, then you can go buy in the main event. So now there's a gateway to earn a WSOP main event seat at a very, very inexpensive price, which I think is going to be very appealing to the poker community. One other thing that I've added that players asked me for over the last couple of years is how come you don't run any mega satellites for the various $10,000 buy-in championship events? And I said, that's pretty interesting. So every night we run an 8 o'clock mega satellite, and every night, for the most part, throughout the schedule, those events will be played as no limit hold'em, with the exception of the days prior to the championship event beginning. That is, let's say tomorrow is the Pot Limit Hold'em Championship $10,000 buy-in. If you play in the Mega Satellite tonight for $550, we will award chips the same as. But instead of playing No Limit Hold'em, we will be playing Pot Limit Hold'em. And of course, then you could use your chips to do whatever, but it's a good way to get a little practice for the championship event that will be the next day, a good way to earn some chips to go buy into the tournament. So that's a nice attractive feature. We've also put in a couple of mega satellites that will be played heads-up style for the $25,000 heads-up championship. Those will actually be ran on Monday, May 30th, and we're really excited about those. So if you want to get a chance to win that, $1,570 will get you an opportunity to win a seat into the 25K heads-up championship. So there's pretty much something in the schedule for everyone. There were a couple of things that didn't make it, but you know what? There's something to be built on for the future. But I think in terms of a wide offering from the very, very bottom-tier player, who just wants to grind from a very small buy-in to try to strike it rich, to the guy who has a very large bankroll and can afford to play in any event that he wants or she wants, that there's something in there for everyone.
All right, we only have a couple of minutes left here. Dennis, you wanted to ask Jack something about the hard stop times.
Well, I did. I was a little curious about that. This thing's already expanded from May 31st to July 19th. It's expanded out and humongous amount of poker playing going on there. When I went deep on that, we were running till 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. It was a grind. It was a challenge. It was part of the experience, I thought. And it seems to have now been expanded out where you're only doing, you know, 10 levels at any tournament as the maximum.
Here's the deal with the hard stop times is that when you run really late into the night, you affect a lot of people. You affect the players having to really push their endurance. You have to push the media to stay up later, and they still have to come back at the same time the next day. They don't get to sleep in. The floor staff stays later. It pushes everybody late in the night, and they still have to come back at the same time. Well, it really only affects a handful of people. It may only affect, you know, a handful of events. I predict probably about a dozen events over the course of the series. But, you know, after playing 10 levels on a day, your tournament's down to a few players. It's much better on the players. It's much better on the media, the staff, and everyone else to continue to stay on a schedule where everybody can stay fresh and continue to perform at their best at their jobs for 50 solid days. I think we really need to pay close attention to that and not try to put anybody in a situation where it affects their health or anything like that. So we want to continue to keep everyone at their best, and I think this move was necessary. And I could either do it one of two ways. I could take levels out where the tournaments definitely end on, you know, in 3 days, or we could just take those two or three players who are fortunate enough to make it there who are already guaranteed six-figure-plus paydays, and, you know, let's bring them back the next day. And what else it does, it highlights their accomplishment during a time when there are players around. Now these guys will be winning their bracelets at, you know, 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon as opposed to 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning when there's nobody around. I don't know about you, but I'd love to watch Phil Ivey and Tom Dwan at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon as opposed to 5 o'clock in the morning. So it'd be a little more exciting for everyone instead of, oh, God, it's finally over.
All right, Jack, we're all out of time, so I'm going to send people to WSOP.com, the World Series of Poker website. You can get the full schedule for the summer of 2011 at the Rio in Las Vegas, and, yes, it will be at the Rio. You can also go to harrah's.com/STL poker to find out the schedule of events here that can help you qualify to go and play in the main event there, and also details on the World Series of Poker circuit event that goes from March 31st to April 12th here in St. Louis. Jack just had a tremendous turnout at the Choctaw event just north of Dallas in Oklahoma. A huge number of people showed up there, as we knew they would. We're looking for a huge turnout here as well. And we'll certainly have to talk to you along the way as things develop closer to Memorial Day and we get ready for the big events there. But we're looking forward to the circuit event here, Jack, and we always appreciate you taking the time to come on and talk with us.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on today. It's my pleasure, and I hope everyone can make it out to the World Series of Poker this year.
Jack Effel is Vice President of International Poker Operations and Director of the World Series of Poker, joining us here at the Final Table. Dennis, we had a bunch of other stuff to get to today, but between Jack Effel and Jeffrey Pollack, we pretty much filled up an entire hour.
I could have talked for another hour with Jack. I had so many questions. We'll have to have him back on before this starts, just kind of get caught up and see what other changes in that. I don't even know for sure which one of these are going to be televised. There's a huge amount of questions I had for him, so we'll have to see if we can get him back
on. I forgot to ask him if the countdowns go to zero this year.
See, there you go. What the heck?
Maybe we'll do it on a future show. Tuesdays at 3 is when you can hear the Final Table on 590 The Fan KFNS and KFNS.com, or get our podcast via iTunes or on thechipleader.com.